Preaching on what you think I'm going to preach on, but turn with me to the second book of Acts, or the second chapter of Acts. Amen. Second chapter of Acts, verse number 41. How many love your church? Amen. I love the church that I'm a member of. Amen. How many believes your church is the best church? Amen. Amen. Somebody one time said, where's the best church at? I believe everybody ought to say, mine. Mine's the best. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 41. The Bible says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. And in breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, and praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added unto the church, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. I want to preach, if the Lord will help us for a few minutes tonight, on we need a great church. We need a great church. Amen. I asked you before we started how many loves their church. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't like going to dead churches. I've been to a few, but I don't necessarily like going to them. Now, we all have our times when we're going to go through tight spots. We all have times when we're going to shout the victory. Amen. But, you know, as being an evangelist and preaching, and going across the country, and those of you that has been in any kind of work for the Lord at all, you get to talking to anybody, and different churches come up. And, you know, of course, with being in this area, we go out and we get to preaching, and we'll have them say, you're close to Brother Collins, aren't you? And aren't you close to this one? Aren't you close to that one? How's this church? And how's that church? And you hear several different people talking about several different churches. And, of course, as being an evangelist, you hear other evangelists talking, man, you got to go there. That's a great church. Woo, what a church. And how the Lord laid this message on our heart a few years ago, we had a man that come to our church, and he don't go to our church anymore. Of course, we've lost a few members over the course of time. I don't know if you've ever been through that or not, but we've lost a few members over the course of the time that we've been at Springdale. And since Dad's been pastoring there, and we had a man one time and used to go to our church and was a good man and prayed around the altar and was solid, but the devil would like to confuse all of us. Amen. How many know the devil would like to trick all of you? And Lord help me, this is going to get out and he's going to hear it. Most probably that he knows he's wrong and he knows we love him anyway, but he started not coming to the church, and when the phone calls began to come and when he began to inquire and we asked where he was, he said, I ain't coming back there anymore. Yep. So me and my father-in-law got to talking. Matter of fact, we ain't even going to church anymore. So we got to talking, and he said, me and my father-in-law, we got to talking, reading in the Word of God, and we've just come to this conclusion. There ain't no church worth going to. Nobody's living right. Nobody's preaching it straight. Nobody's got the anointing anymore. And the church pews are emptying, and revival's not breaking out like it used to, and nobody's got it anymore. And it was just negative this and negative that. Negative this, and his brother Snowden was preaching negative all the time.
And so we ran into a man that if I said his name, everybody in here would know, because he's went to every church in this country for a little while. He came to ours for a little while, come here for a little while. He went everywhere for a little while. Ran into him in a store not long back, and I was with Dad, and Dad said, "Going to church? Are you preaching any longer?" He said, "Well, yeah, I'm preaching. Where are you going to church at?" "I ain't going anywhere." "How come?" "Well, there ain't nobody. I just, the Lord spoke to me and said that his spirit was drawn away from all the churches and just stay at home, and he blessed me there." Well, I want to tell you, my friend, I still believe in going to the house of God. Amen. I still believe in being faithful to the house of God. You know why God don't ever use some people? It's because you ain't faithful to the house of God. You know why some ministries ain't never blessed and don't never blossom and never go anywhere? Because they're unfaithful. You know why some singers never get blessed? You know why some singers and some Sunday school teachers never get any more anointing, any more power with God than what they already have? It's because if they ain't up front, they're pouting. Amen. And if I ever get in the mood, or if I ever get in the mindset that if Brian Miller ain't doing it, it ain't getting done, there's something bad wrong with me, because I tell you something, there's thousands that can do a better job than me, and I just thank God that he saw fit to let me work in this army for a little while, and I want to upbuild the kingdom of God. I want to do what I can for the Lord while I've got a chance. Amen. But we get confused with what a great church really is. We'll hear them talk and say, "Yeah, you got to go to so-and-so. What a great church they have." And I just talked to a man not long ago. He said, "You been by our church lately?" I said, "No." He said, "You'll never know it." So we've tore it all down. We left the right wall standing and one of the bathrooms, and we've ripped it apart. We got a basement. We've expanded. We're growing. We've had to bust out the walls. And I'm all for that. That's great. God bless them. But hey, I want to tell you, a great church is not the size of our building. A great church, and we got them too. A great church is not whether we got padded pews or not, and ceiling fans, and a big cathedral ceiling. And a great church is not how much money we take in every weekend, and what our pastor's name is, and what the history of the church is. That does not decide whether we have a great church or not. Amen. If the number we run and the size of the building we got and the popularity and the money we take in decides what a great church is, folks, the holiness people lost a long time ago. Amen. But there's a few things that determine what a great church is. And I want to preach for the next 25 or 30 minutes, if you'll let me, on a great church. How many want to be a part of a great church? Amen. I'm not just preaching on a highway being a great church. I'm preaching about our movement in general being a great church for God. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 4. I love the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 4, verse number 30. The Holy Ghost has already fell. You know, to have a great church, there are some things we got to do, some things we must have, some things we must go through to be a great church, spiritually, scripturally. Amen. Acts chapter number 4, verse number 30. "And by stretching forth thine hand to heal," I believe in healing. How about you? Amen. I believe that God, you know, I believe God still heals. But you know why not many miracles take place anymore? It's because we limit God. Amen. I don't preach against going to the doctor. I mean, if you preach against going to the doctor, God bless you. And I mean, hey, I'm going to give God first chance. Amen. Sometimes we've taken God totally out of the picture. We get sick. We don't ever ask for prayer. Never ask God to touch us. Never ask God to move. We run straight to the doctor, straight to the medicine cabinet. And God's not moved in our church in so long because we don't trust him. Amen. "By stretching forth thine hand to heal, that many signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. How many believe that if we get together in prayer, we can shake this place? Amen. How many believe that if we get back down to business with God and forget everything else and put everything else behind us and get our minds on one thing and hit our knees again, we can shake this place. We can move for God. Amen. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
And spake the word of God with boldness. We need some men and women that will speak the word of God with boldness. Amen. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of these things which he possessed were his own, but they had all things in common. And here is what I want us to notice. And with great power. And with great power. You know what that power is speaking of? The Holy Ghost from heaven. Amen. I still believe in the Holy Trinity. How about you? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us in the first chapter of the book of Acts, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. When does the Bible tell us that we're going to receive power? After that the Holy Ghost has come upon us. And I want to tell you something tonight, church. We have got to get in touch with that power again and get in communion with that power and get the Holy Ghost to come down out of heaven. We have went through one too many service without the Holy Ghost moving. We have prayed one too many prayers without interceding until the Holy Ghost stops by. And I'm here to tell you, we cannot have a great church without the Holy Ghost. He's our power. He's our strength. He's what makes us go. I don't believe in Holy Ghost or hell by no means. Matter of fact, I believe that if you believe anything saves you but the blood of Jesus Christ, you need to get saved again. Be it the Holy Ghost, water baptism, whatever you want to say. If you believe that you are saved by any other means but the blood of Jesus Christ, we need to pray back through. So I do not believe it's Holy Ghost or hell. I believe there's people that die without the Holy Ghost that make it to heaven. But I want to say this, if you have been saved for years and months and have no desire for the Holy Ghost, you better pray back through again. Amen? If you've been sitting in the walls of these church and been saved and trying to do a work for God, and it's been months before you sought for the Holy Ghost, something is wrong with your experience with God. Amen? And if there's something holding you back from the Holy Ghost, amen. And with great power. And with great power. We need the power of the Holy Ghost inside of our church. We can build the big cathedrals. We can build the big church. We can have our big organizations if we please. We can have our fellowship meetings. I'm not against them. I love them better than anything in the world. We went up to Eastern Indiana today and saw Brother Collins and Brother Bradley and other men of God and went out and we ate that hog with Brother Collins. And I mean, it was great. I love and appreciate that. But hey, we can build our youth camps. We can build our fellowship meetings. We can build our camp meetings, but I'm here to tell you, we cannot build a church for God without the power of the Holy Ghost, without the anointing of God, and without the third person of the Godhead stopping by down out of heaven and blessing us.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's how the church world that we know today came into existence, when the Holy Ghost breathed down out of heaven. And the Bible said that it set upon each and every one of them. Hey, ain't it kind of funny that when the Holy Ghost first fell, that it never just picked out a few certain ones that were supposed to be preachers and a few certain ones that were supposed to be the leaders, but it set on each and every one of them. And I'm here to tell you, the Holy Ghost is for everyone in here. It is how we came to be. It is why we're what we are today. And without it, we are not no different than any other movement in the United States of America.
No.
Amen. we stand up here and we blast every other movement, and I believe in holiness as much as anybody, but if we don't have the Holy Ghost, we ain't no better than they are. Amen. Amen. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. When you get the Holy Ghost, my friend, you're not going to sit there on your pew and wither away till you die and keep your lips zipped shut and never talk about Jesus, never want to go witnessing for the Lord and bottle it up inside and think, okay, I got it now, nobody else needs it. No, sirree. When we really get the genuine Holy Ghost down inside of us, we're going to want everybody to want what we got. We're going to spread the gospel of Jesus. And the Bible tells us when that great power came, the apostles, what'd they do? They gave witness of what? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why a lot of our ministries don't work? You know why a lot of our witnessing don't work? We're witnessing about the wrong thing. Amen. If they don't come to my church, I ain't asking. If they ain't going to pat me on the back, I ain't telling them about the Lord. If they don't come to our church and tell how great a hogwash, my friend, I'll tell you what I'm in this for. I don't care if I ever, hey, Lord help me, but I don't care if every door I knock on goes somewhere else and never darkens the church doors at Springdale Road. I'm not in this to see Springdale Road grow. I ain't in this to see Highway grow. I ain't in this to see a church. I know what I'm in this for. I'm in this to witness for who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we get ourselves in the way too many times. We let pride overcome us. Self-exaltation take over our ministry. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, when we start getting prideful about what we have accomplished for the Lord, let me bust your bubble here for a second. You ain't done nothing for God except what the Lord's allow you to do. Amen. And without him, you won't do nothing again. And when we get it in our minds that I can win people without the anointing of God, I can preach without the anointing of God, I can build a church without the Holy Ghost, I can have a successful ministry without ever praying, without ever reading, without ever pushing the plate aside, I'm here to tell you something, my friend, we are bad mistaken. Great power. Great power. And the fourth verse in verse 33 keeps going. And with great power, which is the Holy Ghost, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace.
Hallelujah.
Great grace was upon them all. Amen. I was preaching a couple years ago down at Brother Tim Phillips' in Alabama, and I went down there to finish up the meeting. Brother Collins had closed on Friday, and I preached Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Brother Collins preached that night and took a text on school is back in town, and grace is the teacher. I'll never forget. Hey, I want to tell you, if we cannot have a powerful church, we cannot have a great church except for the grace of God dwells inside of it. Amen. I've heard them say to me before, and I've heard the murmuring and complaining before, when the sinner walks through the back door, or when someone walks through the back door that claims to be saved, that we know good and well ourselves is not right with God. And they'll walk through the back door, and we'll hear the complaining among the people, and the complaining among the ministry, and saying, let me tell you what. And I've even heard them tell me, I don't want them in my church. I don't want them to come visit. I don't want them around. Let me tell you something, my friend. If we're in this for any other reason but to have the doors open to the world and win the sinner and beg the lost to come in, and if our compassion is shut off and our love for people has been quenched and we don't allow the sinner to come in and sit among us, I'm not talking about patting them on the back and letting them stand on the pulpit and take over. That's not what I'm preaching. But when we disallow the sinner to come in among us and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, we might as well take the church keys, lock up the doors, and never darken them again. Amen. I look up the definition for the word grace. There's quite a few definitions. This is the one that fit me the best. I don't know about you, but I looked up the word grace, and underneath it I found this: a period of delay that is granted to us as a favor. A period of delay that has been granted to us as a favor. And so I want to ask you, my friend, if it wasn't for the highway of holiness, being a great church spiritually, and still having the grace of God dwelling inside of it, where would you be at tonight? Amen. If it wasn't for a few men and women that got a hold of God during this, during meetings just like this, if it wasn't for a few men and women right sitting here among us tonight that got a burden for the lost when they walked in the back door and the grace of God was pushed outside, where would we be today? I want to tell you, I thank God that when I went to Springdale Road one night and I walked through the back doors as a low sinner and I came down and got saved, I'm glad that the grace of God still dwelt there. I'm glad that the grace of God allowed me one more chance. I'm glad that God's mercy was not cut off, but there was a church somewhere in Ohio that I walked through the doors and the grace of God still dwelt, and there was a period of delay that was granted to Brian Miller as a favor. Amen. And it was the grace of God. The grace of God. And we cannot survive without it. If we had to live off man's mercy and grace, I wouldn't be here among you. No. But the grace of God is far-reaching, my friend. Amen. The grace of God. How it can dwell and how God can put up with some people, I'll never know. Hey, but thank God He's got grace beyond our understanding. Amen. Acts chapter number 5. We all know the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And now I want to preach for just a few minutes on fear. Fear. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter number 5, and let's read, I believe it's verse 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. We know that Ananias and Sapphira had sold a possession. And we know that he come walking into the church service, and Peter was standing up, and when he come down and offered his part and offered a price unto Peter, and there was a certain part that was kept back, and he handed that to Peter, and Peter looked down at him and began to talk to Ananias. Ananias standing there before all the congregation. And I want you to imagine, my friend, one of our members comes walking down, and one of our men of God standing up in the platform and says these words: Ananias, why hath Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? Now, how would you feel if your pastor stood up here and one of your members come up, whether it be your brother, your uncle, your father, your grandfather, and they come walking down, and your pastor asks these questions, asks the same question that Peter asked Ananias, and the Bible tells us that even when Ananias heard the words, hey, Ananias heard them, and the fear of God struck him so, and he fell dead right there. Because he lied to the Holy Ghost. Because he kept back a part of the price of the land that was due God. Lord, help me. I'd be afraid to keep back what was God's. Amen. I said I'd be afraid to keep back what was God's. Hey, I believe, Lord help me, I'm going to get in. Amen. I still believe in paying tithes. Not 9% of them either. And it goes far more than tithes, my friend. Offerings. Alms. I still believe in giving to God what's God's. And it goes far greater than that. You know what else is God's? We're God's. Amen. But the Bible said Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost. And the Bible tells us that great fear came upon all them that heard it. Let me ask you, how would you react if God struck dead a man in your church? I'd say we'd be afraid. I'd say there'd be some Christians that we thought was right with God that'd be praying through again. Amen. But you know the sad part of the whole story is when his wife come walking in, and don't the Bible tell us this about the span of 3 hours later, and she come walking in. Man, we had a 3-hour service today, we'd have a Holy Ghost breakthrough, wouldn't we? About 3 hours later, when she come walking in, the Bible tells us, let's look here. It was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, how would you women like for your husband to have already fell dead, the funeral already be over, and him already under the ground? She come walking in 3 hours later, had no idea what took place. Came in, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. And she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And so here's what I want us to notice. Did not fear fall upon the church? Did not in verse 5 the Bible tell us that when they saw what happened to Ananias, the people got afraid? Now, we know that it's 3 hours later his wife comes in. Same story. She falls dead. And the Bible tells us, and great fear came upon all the church. You know the sad thing about our church members? The fear of God only lasts just a short time.
Oh, yes.
Amen. I know when I was a kid, and when I heard a hellfire and brimstone message, and the fear of God got put in me, and I'd run down and pray and say, oh God, you know how old kids are. I mean, we pray through 100 times before we ever really pray through. And I'd pray, oh God, help me. Oh Lord, oh God, I'm so afraid. I'm so scared. Forgive me, God. 2 or 3 days later, fear of God leaving, right back out, we was doing the same thing. And you know what's happened in our church world? We have been so immune to the move of God. We've got a dab of fear here and a dab of fear there and a dab of fear here. And we've got used to it until the fear of God is no longer existing in our church. And I want to tell you, we cannot have a great church, we cannot have a powerful church, we cannot have a mighty church unless we have the fear of God. People's not falling to sin because the grace of God is not as great as it used to be.
No.
We ain't losing people left and right because God don't love them anymore.
No.
We ain't losing them because revival don't happen any longer.
No.
We're losing them because they lost the fear of God.
Tired of God.
Amen. Our churches is not going down in number every year because revival has ceased. Our churches all across America has not dwindled away to near about nothing because that God's miracle power is still not evident in the land. That's not what it is. We have almost become non-existent for no other reason, Brother Rick Bradley, but we've lost the fear of God. You know why I got saved? When I did, I was scared of where I was going. I hear them say, preacher, I don't want to scare them into salvation. I don't care if you scare them in or not, just as long as they get it.
Right.
Amen. And I believe our church world needs a dose of the fear of God again.
Right.
Amen. And I'll tell you what to bring it forth is when stuff like this begins to happen. Amen. Hey, sin was not tolerated back in them days. It was dealt with on the spot and right there. And I want to tell you, in 1995, sin is still not tolerated. God can't stand it. It's a stink in his nostrils, and it may not be taken care of right now. But you can guarantee yourself one thing, brother. God will deal with it. Amen. Fear. I need the fear. I need more than fear of God. How about you? Amen. Amen. Acts chapter number 8. I'm hurrying. And Saul was consenting unto his death. Folks, we're just 6 chapters removed from the Holy Ghost falling. Ananias and Sapphira died. We were just 3 chapters removed from the Holy Ghost falling. I mean, this didn't happen in the midst of trouble. I mean, wasn't there 5,000 got saved at one time, 3,000 later? I mean, the lame man had got healed. The Holy Ghost had fell, and revival was breaking out everywhere. And there was still some without the fear of God. And so here we are, just 6 chapters removed from the move of the Spirit and from the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible tells us, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was great persecution against the church. You know why some people can't never stay saved? It's because they can't stand going through the valley. They can't stand the hard times. They can't stand it when they're being persecuted. Amen. There's some people, we got a baby all the way to the gates of heaven. And I want to tell you something, my friend. You are going to suffer hard times. You're going to go through the valley. You're going to go through persecution. And when we got saved, we wasn't guaranteed a bed of roses. But we was guaranteed that we would have a master that walk with us, that be with us, that hear our prayer, that would comfort us. And I want to tell you, we are going to suffer persecution if we're going to do anything for God. And if you want to sing to the Holy Ghost falls and never suffer persecution, it ain't going to happen. I even catch myself sometimes saying, Brother Collins, I was listening to Brother Moore preach today, all the stories he got to tell him, Brother Collins telling them stories, and I got to hearing them up preaching and singing, and I got to thinking to myself today, man, I'd love to have experiences like that and stories like that, things like that to tell. And then the Holy Ghost checked me and said, boy, they've been through some things that you'll never see. They've been through some things that you may have never made it out of. I want to tell you something, my friend. We look at some of our elders and some of the great men and women of God and how great and mighty they've been, and think they've never been through a hard time, think they've never been through a valley. Let me tell you something. Anybody that does a work for God, anybody that's successful, and any church that'll do anything for God will suffer persecution. Amen. I mean, man, the Holy Ghost just fell. Thousands getting saved, people getting healed left and right, and persecution slapped them right in the middle of the face. Didn't mean God wasn't still with them. Amen. It didn't mean the Holy Ghost wasn't still moving. It didn't mean the Holy Ghost was non-existent anymore. It just meant that the devil got mad. Amen. I'll tell you one thing. When the devil gets mad, it makes me glad. Amen. Hey, and anytime we do anything for God, he's going to get upset. And I hear them say, oh, brother, you don't understand what I'm going through, and the devil's fighting me, and the devil's tempting me, and the devil's going on. Hey, if the devil ain't never fought you, you may not be right with God. Amen. Why fight somebody you already got? Amen. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus. Did it say you may? Did it say it might happen? No. And all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Such comforting words to hear, that if you live godly, you're going to suffer. Guess what? If you live ungodly, you're going to suffer too. Amen. So you might as well strap your seatbelt on and get ready for the ride, my friend. It's coming. Yes, we're going to have to suffer some things. But I'll tell you what I enjoy about reading the Word of God, and what I enjoy about the Lord is we never stay where we're at if we're willing to press. Amen. That same chapter 8, and just a few verses later, Saul is consenting to his death in verse 1, and now the Bible tells us in verse 6. Now listen to this. This happened in the midst of persecution, in the middle of trouble. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many were taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. What are you saying, preacher? You just read me 7 verses prior that there was great persecution. Oh yeah, there was. And there was trouble. And there was things that was happening. But thank God and praise be to the Lord that in the midst of all of it, the people could rise up and say, we've got joy. We've got the love of God. And we're not backing up now. We're not giving in now. But if the devil's going to fight us, let him put his dukes up and try. I've got the Lord on my side, and it's going to be joy all the way to heaven. Amen. If you sit around in the molly grubs all the time, sit around discouraged and depressed all the time, and don't never have victory, you can have it. Because inside of a great church, let me ask you, we still got the power of the Holy Ghost here, don't we? Amen. Amen. We still got the fear of God, don't we? We still got grace that abounds inside this church, don't we? We ever had to suffer any persecution around here? Then joy is coming. Amen. Victory's just around the corner. And the Lord's a-fixing to answer your prayer. And God's a-fixing to move. You ain't going to stay in that valley all your life. You ain't going to stay where you've been for the last several months. But the Bible tells us that joy is coming in the morning. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. The Bible tells us to rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. But preacher, I don't feel like praising. Preacher, I don't feel like shouting. I don't care. Praise God anyway. Preacher, I'm sick when I come to church. Big deal. Praise Him anyway. Preacher, I'm having a financial struggle. Shout anyway. Run the aisles anyway. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. You'd come out of that valley a whole lot quicker if you just make a few steps forward instead of just sitting down where you've been for the last few months. Amen. Amen. You ain't never going to climb the mountain sitting on your pew. And you ain't never going to get out of that valley sitting there. So, woo! Preach, Brother Collins. You sing it, sister. All right, great to you. Woo! Praise God. We got people in our church that go right where I'm a member of. I mean, it don't matter. You could be shouting the aisles. You could be crying. It can be dead, and it has been a few times. I mean, the Holy Ghost can be moving. It don't matter. We got some that ain't never going to pray. Amen. But rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Acts chapter 11, and I'm affixing the close. I want a great church. How about you? I want a great church. Acts chapter 11, verse 21. How many believe the hand of the Lord is upon us? I believe the hand of the Lord's on us. I mean, if we're living right, the hand of the Lord is here. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 11, verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Amen. You say, preacher, what's a great number? Preacher, well, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 got saved, I believe it was. When the lame man got healed, 5,000 got saved. Well, what happened to Ananias and Sapphira happened to them? The Bible said there was great multitudes that turned to the Lord and believed. And you say, preacher, we're living in a new age and a new era, and we're living in the 90s now, and things like that don't happen. Oh, yeah, they still do. But hey, it's been so long since God has had just one church. I've been to several good churches, but it has been so long since God has had a spiritually great church that He could move in. You say, preacher, I qualify for all them things, and some of us do. But if we could just bind together and get the power of the Holy Ghost back, and get the grace of God back, and get the fear of God back, and suffer through a few things, and shout the victory and shout the joy and have it, yeah, deep down in our soul, no matter what was going on, then the Bible tells us that the hand of the Lord's going to be with us, and that a great number is going to turn, and they're going to believe God. They're going to turn to the Lord. Hey, I want to tell you, my friend, Highway of Holiness, if we'll get back to the Lord and get a great church once again, I believe the Lord can move. It happened where I'm a member of too. I want a great church. I want a great church. How many want a great church tonight? Let's stand all across the building if we will. Someone comes and gets us a song. I want us to gather around these altars. I've heard the stories about great revivals that's took place, great meetings that's went on. Do you know what? Our younger generation that's rising up now, we can't live off mom and dad's stories anymore. We can't live off the past experience that grandma and grandpa had. If we just get a few young people that would decide, we're going to have a great church no matter. No matter what comes, what goes, no matter who stays and who quits, no matter who shouts and who loses out with God, we're going to have a great church. If it's full or if it's empty, we're going to have a great church. We can have a great church with five, we can have one with 5,000. But we're going to have to meet the biblical requirements before God is going to bless us. And I have found myself, I'm getting ready to make altar call, I have found myself in times of trouble, in times of persecution, I found myself not having the joy of God. I have. I found myself coming to church sometimes and saying, my Lord, it's dead in here. And complaining, and then I check myself and say, where's your power at, boy? If we have a few more doers and a lot less complainers, we could do something for God. Amen. If we'd have a few more that say, if it's up to me, we'll do something for God. Instead of saying, come on, come on. You've been doing it for the last 20 years. Come on, get us going again. We could have a great church if just a few of us will agree together and work for God. I want us to gather around these altars and pray. Ask the Lord to help us. I need a great church. In my own life, in my own soul, I want to be a temple that God can use, a vessel that the Lord can work through. I want a great church. Let's pray.